Let's pray. My dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord, for the stories you place in the Bible that teach us so much. And as we go through the story that we're going to look at today, might give us courage, might give us hope, might give us comfort and strength, but most of all, may we appreciate how you lead. So be with us now in this service now. May your Holy Spirit be here with us too, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's amazing the stories that are in the Bible that in themselves teach about the realities of life. Even though they may have taken place over a couple of thousand years ago, yet they are still very real and relevant for 2020. And such is the story I want to look at for this morning. Come with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And in verses 1 and 2, we have the setting that is given for this story. Now there was a certain man, a Mizraim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jochim, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuhai, the son of Ziph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Here we have a setting that says so much. What we have before us very simply is a man who had two wives. One wife we know as Hannah. The other went by the name of Peninnah. Peninnah had children, Hannah had none. And no matter how you look at it, no matter how much you want to dress it up, what we have before us in reality is the folly of a man who thought he could have two wives and get away with it. Everything would be well in the camp. But in having these two wives, little did he appreciate or realise or take into account the trouble that this would cause. Let's read about it a little bit further down. Go to verse 4 to 6. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up a womb. And the adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. You know, it's interesting when you read the Bible. The Bible tells it how it is, warts and all, doesn't it? Because what you got here is a situation that we would call today a rather dysfunctional family. Two wives are bickering. One is poking fun at the other. And the husband with his head in the sand. I guess maybe Elkanah is hoping that if he ignores it all, maybe it might all just go away. But it's funny, it doesn't happen always, though, does it? It doesn't happen that way. Because this attitude is brought out in a statement he made to Hannah in verses 7 and 8. And as he did so year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is her heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? What a dumb thing to say. How dumb can you get? You know, problems don't go away, do they? No matter how much you pretend, they never do go away. And it does not matter if one has money, throwing money at a problem will not fix it either. And how many people in the world are guilty of doing that? So let's pause for a moment and consider this scene that we have here and perhaps appreciate where it is heading. You have a husband who is ignoring the reality of what is happening between the two wives. You have one wife who is putting the other one down. There is no mention of what the children are thinking. But you can't tell me they're not blind to what's happening. Of course they know what's happening. All in all, it makes for a very unpleasant situation. One that is not good. Then we come to the next scene, verse 9 and 10. And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. It's interesting. So what we have here is Hannah going up to the temple to pray. And I guess what we have to appreciate is as she is praying, she is being very honest with God. How we all need to be honest with God. After all, God sees us, doesn't he? He knows. He sees. Nothing can be hid from him. But here we have Hannah going to the temple to pray. There is bitterness in her heart. She is sad. She is upset. And she's being honest. There are tears. Questions are being asked. Lord, where are you? Where are you? You know, as I take in this scene, I cannot help but wonder at the love and the mercy of our Father in heaven. We do not find that God is telling her to stop her tears. We do not find that God is not listening to her prayers. And as for us today, what a wonderful thought it is to know that God is only a prayer away. That in our tears we can depend upon him to be there, ever willing to listen to our prayer for mercy. In the little book Steps to Christ, page 40, we have these beautiful words. Look up. Look up, you who are doubting and trembling, for Jesus lives to make intercession for us. Thank God for the gift of his dear Son, and pray that he may not have died for you in vain. The Spirit invites you today. Come with your whole heart to Jesus and you may claim his blessing. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What we find with Hannah is that not only did she pray, but she was also willing to make a promise. Let's read it in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. What a promise. What a promise to make. But for Hannah, it was a promise that she was willing to make and to keep. It was a promise that she was determined to keep. And in looking at the next few verses, what we find here is now another person getting the wrong idea of what he is seeing. How often we all can be guilty of doing that. How we all need to be sure of the facts. Let's read about it. Verse 12 to 14. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. Poor Hannah. Here she is praying to the Lord out of the bottom of her heart, and the high priest is sitting nearby, and now he accuses her of being drunk. Not nice to be falsely accused, is it? Ever had that happen to you? It's not good. I remember one night many years ago, it was a Friday evening, I was living at Warburton. And I had to make a phone call back to home. And back in those days, there was no mobile phones. And I didn't have a phone in my landline phone, so I used the phone box. But I didn't have coinage. So, well, the quickest way to get coins to go into the milk bar and get some change. I knew the owner well. Not a problem. So I went in and got my change, went out to make the phone call, and as I went out, I looked on the road and a friend of mine from work drove past in his car. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. So next week at work, on the Monday morning, I went into work and I was talking to him, hey, suppose you saw me Friday night. Yes, I did see you Friday night coming out of that milk bar. And do you know why I was there? No, but I saw you coming out. I said, well, I didn't buy anything. Didn't you? No. I got some change to make a phone call. Oh. How quickly we can all jump to conclusions. And here you got Eli looking at poor Hannah and thinking, well, yes, well. He's drunk. What do we find? Verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You know, as Eli listened to her story, I have no doubt that he would have felt her pain. He knew that this person was in earnest, that her feelings were from the heart. No doubt he probably would have thought about his own household and saw again what his boys had become, and yet the father in him remembered what they once were. Children. Yes, children are special. And how could he deny this lady of a blessing? So what do we find? In verse 18, and she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. What a difference. What a difference. What a change we find in Hannah. Because of what the priest Eli had said, she believed him. And here's how we all need to believe when we are told good news. But more to believing, she was now willing to act. We find that she arose and went her way. We find that she was no more an unhappy person. We find that she was willing to eat. She had found peace. she had found peace and was able to hold fast to that peace which only God can give. Do you know that peace? Have you found that peace which only God can give? And what we find now is this, with this newfound faith, this wonderful new faith that she had, that it would not be in vain. She would be blessed. Verse 19 and 20. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. How exciting it would have been. How exciting. She now had a son. She had a baby. But then there was a challenge. What do you do? What do you do? Would she be willing to obey the promise she had made? Or would she think perhaps it would be all right now to renege and to hold the son to herself? Challenge. A challenge. You know how we can all make excuses for ourselves when it is convenient. We all can be good at making excuses. And this is where we find the strength of Hannah. She had made a promise to the Lord and she was going to keep it. For what we find now is a beautiful, wonderful scene of a mother taking care of her son. Verse 21 and 22. And the man, Elkanah, and all of his house, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide. What a promise to make. That she was not going to go anywhere until the son was weaned, and that she would then bring him up to the temple to be loaned to the Lord. She was going to keep her promise. The promise that she had made. But stop and think about it for a moment. Every day she would have been teaching that boy right from wrong. Every day. She would have been teaching him about her prayers and how they were answered. Every day. She would have been giving to him understanding in the things of God. Every day she would have been telling him that God is love. Every day she would have been doing all that she could to prepare him for his life work. Now that's dedication. What dedication. How faithful she would have been in doing all of the above. And then finally the day comes when she does take him to the temple. What a day that would have been, not only for her, but also for her son Samuel. Let's read about it in verse 24 onwards. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. and he worshipped the Lord there. You know what an end result to have. Out of this dysfunctional family, you have one lady who was willing to pray. More than that is the wonder of the fact that her prayers were heard from on high. Not only were her prayers heard, but her prayers were answered. And then what you have before us is a person who was also willing to keep a promise. As a young child, Samuel was brought to the temple. What a moment this would have been for him. But the story doesn't end there. I'm sure that Hannah would have been satisfied with the thought that a son was to be a servant of the Most High. That would have been special to know that. But there is more. For the most exciting part of the story is that Hannah would go on to have more children. Let's read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman and for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew up before the Lord. You know, what an amazing end to this little story. We begin with a family that was not going all that well. We today would say that this family is very dysfunctional. That there was not much good going for it. Remember, we had one man with his head in the sand. Two wives were upset with one making fun of the other. Who knows what the children were thinking? And yet, out of this mess, we have the prayers of one being answered. And that we would see the birth of one who would become a prophet of God. How true it is. How true it is that with God all things are possible. Just as it was true for back then, so it is true for today as well. That we never underestimate what God can do. You may think that you are beyond the reach of God. You may think that for you there is no hope. How wrong that is. For no one is beyond the reach of God. And really, it is amazing as to what can be achieved when one is willing to put their lives into the hand of the one who controls the future and who is willing to control their lives too. Today we have a question. A question that we each need to consider. Do you sometimes think that perhaps your life is a little bit messed up? Do you sometimes struggle to see the sunbeams at the edge of a cloud? Do you think that perhaps maybe there is no hope? Today, we can take hold of hope. You see, there are many families in the Bible that fit the above details that we've looked at today. But out of such messes, God was able to use men and women who were willing to give to him their all. And when they did that, the end was amazing. Wonderfully amazing. And just as God was willing to use these people, so God is also willing to use us today. That's good news, don't you think? That's good news. Let's pray. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, for us each one today, may you be that shelter in the times of our individual storms. May we run to you, may we hide to you, may we find peace in you this day and every day, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.